Hey, middle-aged gamers, welcome back to the latest episode of the Middle-Aged Gaming Podcast. I am back after spending 2 days in a hotel last week, which was interesting, but thank God I'm in front of my beautiful gaming desktop and not in front of a tiny goddamn laptop, because those suck. But onto the stories today, lots of stories, hardware, software, gaming news, gaming heights, or historic milestones, and lots of other stuff in between. So today we're going to start off with Adam first.
So my first story is going to be about PlayStation and Twitter, or I guess you guys call it X now. I don't know. I still call it Twitter because I'm stubborn like that, and it's a better name. But apparently, recently, Sony has decided that they are no longer going to be having Twitter support on the PlayStation 5. So it used to be that you could directly upload things to Twitter. That was one of the functions of the share button on the original, on the controller. They got rid of the select button. It was replaced with the share button, and it used to be able to connect directly to Twitter and YouTube. And yeah, that was it. It was, oddly enough, you couldn't connect it to Twitch or Facebook directly, just those two. But now Twitter's going to be gone. So yeah, the only thing you can really share to anymore is going to be YouTube if you want to share in any of your content. If you do want to share Twitter content, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to upload whatever your content is to the PlayStation app on your phone and then access Twitter through that. So the reasons behind this, I'm not quite sure what the reason behind this is. However, apparently Xbox did this a couple months ago. So they stopped supporting Twitter and or X or whatever you want to call it. And it looks like Sony is making that move as well. So currently the only console that remains compatible with X is the Switch. And we, I guess we will have to wait and see how much longer that's going to last. Apparently the reason is probably because X is now, they were saying it's something like $45,000 a month for integration or something like that. So it's a little more than $500,000 a year just to allow that kind of integration. I don't know what it was before, but apparently they upped that price. And yeah, Sony said, not worth it to us. So when the contract's up, sorry, that's it. We're done. That's my first news.
Yeah, it's just because X or Mr. Musk has become greedy, of course, because Twitter, X is in such a great financial health. They are trying to find a way to add funds to the platform, and they lost two very big customers, Microsoft and Sony, in the space of a couple of months. Not a smart move, but that's how X is these past few months.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can just upload stuff to my phone through the PlayStation app, and then from the phone, put it on Twitter, and it costs Sony absolutely nothing, and it's very minimal effort on my part.
Exactly.
I can talk about this from my job sort of standpoint, right? Like before, on Twitter, right, there are a bunch of platforms that I wanted to set up for Meg. One is called Hootsuite, where you can manage our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all in one place, right? You don't need to log in separately. I don't need to switch between Middle-Age Gaming, the Work Podcast, Inside Crypto, or my own Instagram, right? I can do it all in one place. Going back last year with that platform, I could tag people. So I could do at LightySci on Twitter, and it would pull up LightySci, and I can see this is the right LightySci, not the fake one that we recently found out last week. In that platform, they just said, oh, by the way, Twitter is charging us more money for this, so we're not going to allow this functionality anymore. So that's gone, right? And there's another place called Fedica, which allows you to do tweet threads. Tweet threads are where I could write blah, 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 blah. I could attach an image, and I could do a little mini paragraph on Twitter, right? Now, that's the same thing that you could do that on other platforms like Hootsuite, like Sprout Social, and you could do that, right? But now there's only one place which does it, and then there is multiple tiers of money that you have to pay in order to do that on that other platform, right? Because again, Twitter is saying, hey, if you want to access our API, you're going to pay more money, as Antoine did the wonderful hand gestures just now. So it's honestly terrible. And we saw there's a website called Apptopia. I was listening to a podcast about this on today's Wednesday, right? So Monday I was riding my bike, and a guy pulled some research from Twitter. And Twitter traffic is down 7%, or Twitter users are down 7%. Daily active minutes is about the same, but they lost 4 million users or something like that. And honestly, it makes sense that, going back to what Adam said, is right, like Musk's going to suck out as much money as he can. I actually heard one of the Twitter engineers created a really cool version of Twitter, that one of the first lots of engineers were fired. So I'm going to check that out later. But yeah, it's unfortunate, but I think more companies are going to do that just because it's the audience is not worth it for what you're paying.
How to destroy your company in 6 easy steps.
Yeah, buy it at $44 billion, currently worth $19 billion as of yesterday when I saw the article. Ouch. Yeah. But I guess it doesn't matter when you're the richest man in the world. All right, probably. Antoine, what's your second story? First story.
My first. Yes. That's going to be a usual topic with me, I would say. You know, my love for indie compared to AAA game, right? And my news is exactly in this line of thought. I just finished Sea of Stars yesterday. And this is a game which is made with love by a small studio. And you can feel that they loved Chrono Trigger. They loved Golden Sun. It's exactly in this vibe. It's made with love. It's not expensive and or free, actually, if you have the Game Pass. And you play with a smile and you enjoy it. And then you have AAAs which come, but they are not here to make you have a good experience. They are here to keep you in-game and make you spend money. Here I say hi to Diablo. Again, hi. Always them, right? And yeah, Diablo 4 has come up with a month bundle which costs $65. So to play Diablo, yes, you need $70 to buy the game. You need $10 to $25 to get a battle pass for each season. And after, okay, fair play to them. Okay, it's not all negative. All the microtransactions are for cosmetics only. It doesn't impact your gameplay. So it's really if you have money to spend, right? But still, a horse, which doesn't bring you anything else, just to say, hey, look, I'm so cool. $65. I can't, even if it's just cosmetics, and I don't judge people who do that, give me 10 Sea of Stars and no more Diablo. I understand this business model which brings lots of money. I criticize it, but end of the line, it brings them lots of money. I saw the numbers. That's why they're doing this. People buy it. Fair enough. Fair play to them. Just, yeah, not for me. I don't know if it's just because I'm a middle-aged guy or because if I'm renting all the time or just because I am so stingy with games. That's also, yeah, maybe a mix of all of those. But yeah, no, paying $65, so the price of 2 good indie games or more is if you have sales on a cosmetic. At least play gacha. You don't know what you're going to spend on. But at least you get something. I'm not gacha. At least it makes more sense to me. I don't know. What do you guys think, Adam?
I'm definitely not a gacha fan at all. But $60, that's basically the price of a game. It is. Yeah. It's okay. We're going to pay the base price of the game. And then we're going to pay double that price for this tiny piece of content relative to the size of the actual game itself. Yeah, it just seems ridiculous to me, considering all the art that had to go into the game. The amount of art that had to go into designing these mounts versus the amount of art that had to go into creating the entire game, let alone the programming behind it and the beta testing and all that. How is this one asset or these couple few assets equal in value to the entire game? I do not understand that pricing model at all. That makes
but
zero
in terms
sense
of
to
benefits,
me.
The return on investment for them, for the studio is...
Oh, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, and I understand from the business perspective, hey, let's make the money. But at the same time, it's okay, I could make this game cost 3 times as much, and that's also beneficial to the companies. Yeah.
They learned from Diablo, what was it, like Immortal? Where there was this guy who spent like thousands, tens of thousands of dollars for pay to win.
No, that just seems predatory to me when you're like, we're well aware that people will pay any price for this. And so we're just going to create these ludicrous prices. And we know that if we make the game more expensive, people are going to flip out. So let's just make this really expensive content that's super easy to create relative to the game itself. And yeah, it's just to me, creepy, skeezy. No.
Yeah, low-hanging fruit. Clearly.
Funny you guys mentioned this. Today is the new season of Marvel Snap, right? As I mentioned before, one of the cool things with Marvel Snap, unlike other card games, is every month you get a new card or new sets of cards. And you mentioned in-game app purchases, and there was a $65 bundle for cards that I already have, which is a She-Hulk card, done by that very famous Japanese lady, Peach Momoko. She's a comic book artist, and she did this really cool version of She-Hulk. Let me tell you, considering purchasing it, even though I already have the card, and it just means that when I play this She-Hulk card, my card will look different from other people. And yes, that is insane. But it's, I was trying to think about this as you guys are talking. Right? I'm like, if you can't really customize your life, right? What dude wants to look for like nice clothes? And then again, like if you're a remote worker like me, like when I go outside my house like 3 times a week, if I'm not cycling, right? Like maybe once a week if I'm not cycling, really. So what? And if I want to customize my bike, customizing my bike will be more expensive than $65, right? I want a bike as in bicycle, not motorcycle. I don't care about my motorcycle. Customizing your desktop, right? Again, more expensive. So maybe it's gaming cosmetics are affordable in a sense to like show off and be an individual and be special. And again, coming back to the psychology of it, I can see Antoine is ready to rebut my crazy argument.
No, it's just that if you guys, do you have a Love, Death and Robot on Netflix?
Yes,
you mentioned it. Adam's watched it. I won't watch it, unfortunately.
I saw a very small dystopia not too long ago, very much in the same vibe. I don't remember if it was in this series or something else, where, you know, all the people have to bike for their life to earn, and they live in little cubes, and the only pleasure they have in life is that with the amount they earn with their bike, they can either buy food or buy cosmetics for their avatar.
I think that's the very first episode of Dark Mirror. That's Dark Mirror. I think it's the very first episode.
Was that Mirror?
Yeah, it's Dark Mirror. Yeah, okay. But I think it's the very first episode, in fact.
Maybe. Okay, maybe that's why I love it so much. I actually don't know Dark Mirror, but so if it is, then maybe I'm going to watch that more. But yes, it's exactly the same, right? You work like crazy to buy an avatar, some clothes for your avatar online.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can change the background. So you're like, I don't want to ride on this empty country road. I want to ride through a forest.
Again, not judging. Certainly it makes sense for some people. It's just...
For me, it seems, I don't know, not ironic, but weird and not a catch-22. I'm not quite sure how to word it, but I see all these things on Twitter where people are like, there was this recent one where the girl was talking about how are people expected to survive in this world where everything is just so expensive and you have to have 2 jobs just to make ends meet. And then you have on the one side, you have people saying the world is so expensive. It's so hard to survive. It's so hard to save money. And then on the other hand, you have something that's okay. So it's like saying, so basically for Korean's bike example, if the cost to customize your bike is the same price as the bike itself, why not just buy 2 bikes and then choose which one to ride on which day? So like in the case of Diablo, if you're going to have the price of the full game and then you're going to have a price of a package of DLC, which is just a couple horse armors, that's the same price. Why not buy 2 completely different games? And then it's okay, I can have a horse in Diablo and I can have a horse in Red Dead Redemption. And then I have 2 completely different games with horses, right? And that's the same price as just, it just doesn't seem very logical to me from a cost analysis perspective. And I know there are whales that will do it, but that's why, yeah, to me. And then also to me, it's weird because it's okay, there's got to be some sort of balance in there where I get it, you're making the most amount of money, but at the same time, it's okay, you have these, I don't know, to me it would feel better if it was cheaper and then it's more accessible to people, right? So you could have 1,000 people buying 10 dollar content, and then you have 1,000 people with access to these horses. Or you can make it elitist and only have 100 people paying $100 each. But then you get, but if you did that, you have 900 people who don't have customized horses. I don't know. I would rather make it more accessible. I'm sure there is like a sweet balance where it's okay, only this many people are going to buy. And so if we jack up the price, we lose that number. We do the same thing at our school, try to figure out like what's the optimum class size for price, right? If you have fewer students, you need to raise the price. But if you raise the price too much, you're losing even more students. So you have to hit that sweet spot. So I understand there's a logic there, but I don't know. I when your DLC, which isn't even an expansion, costs the same as the original game itself, or very near, I don't know. That rubs me the wrong way.
Moving on to my first story, which is, I'm surprised that, I know you might be surprised that I'm talking about this, but I love technology. And it's Sony's new acquisition fuels PlayStation's aggressive cloud gaming ambitions. This is from Tuktan. Tuktan is a very famous technical computer website which talks about hardware like motherboards and RAM and that sort of stuff. Basically, it says Sony's latest acquisition should influence and propel its gaming streaming capabilities, potentially help solidify PS Plus game streaming delivery to mobile devices. Right? Sony Interactive Entertainment will soon purchase iSize, a UK-based company that has developed technologies around making video delivery more efficient. I'm not going to read the rest of the article, but basically, we've talked about this sort of on and off over the last year or so. You should know Adam is a good example, right? As he's streaming now, right, to Twitch, to Facebook, to YouTube, he can see the bitrate that he's streaming at, right? And the bitrate should be a few megabytes a second or something. I think OBS displays it as KBS or kilobytes per second, right?
You're at 2.6 megabytes a second currently.
So 2.6 megabytes a second, right? And actually that is below the standard of what you would consider HD officially, right? For example,
thanks, my internet.
When I download these videos, typically my video will be the largest size. Antoine's will be pretty large and Adam's usually will be about a similar size. But streaming video and video in general, the higher quality you are, the more bandwidth you need. And that's a problem, right? When you're around the world, when you're on your phone, and when you're not in Asia, right, you have limitations, right, on your cell phone plan. Like here in Taiwan, you pay about $30 a month, $20 to $30 a month, depending on your provider, for unlimited 5G. So 5G means anything above 200 megabytes per second. So you go anywhere from 300 to a gig per second. And that's great. So 5G is wonderful. You can stream 4K gaming to a mobile device, like a big 17-inch tablet from Samsung. I was going to say Sony for some reason, but that is a problem. So basically what Sony's acquisition is doing is they're going to be able to compress the data, just like what Netflix does, right? That's why Netflix is number one, why they're better than Disney Plus, why they're better than Hulu, why they're better than everyone else, because they started all those time ago and they invested in the infrastructure, in the algorithms that compress the data. And it looks like Sony's going to be doing the same thing with iSize. iSize has some really cool technology to take 50 gigabytes of streaming data, which would be about a Blu-ray size of data, and compress that down to 10 gigabytes of data, which is awesome, right? I mean, it's not going to suck up your data plan if you do have one. And if you are streaming and gaming, you maybe game for 20, 30 minutes, and that's going to be less data. And while I know the guys might disagree with this, I think this bodes well for the future of all gaming, including mine, where in the future, I don't need to buy a computer. I just have a device on my TV and I plug my controller into my TV and I just stream directly that way. And that's the future that Microsoft's going for. And maybe Sony's now going to try and take a leg up on that and say, hey, let's build the infrastructure first. This is going to be a long 5 to 10 year play like Netflix was. Like Netflix started out with like mail order DVDs and they slowly behind the scenes built up server infrastructure around the world. And they were the first person to offer streaming TV in 136 countries in the world, whereas Hulu and Amazon Prime were like, oh my God, how are we going to catch up? And they still haven't caught up, which is why Netflix is where it is today. And I guess I'm not a fan of anybody, right? But if Sony can do it, I think that would be the big cash cow for them to generate ARR, right, which is annually recurring revenue for the foreseeable future, and become a company that can compete with the likes of Microsoft and other big companies. And that's it.
Then I'm going to do my Nostradamus, look into my crystal ball, and I can tell you that the future generation of gaming, based on what you said, you all know, of course, the Amazon TV Stick, Fire Stick. That would be your console. You put it with all compressed games and everything, stick it behind your TV, take your pad, and that's it. Because the smart TVs, you know, you have smart TVs, but they still have an Amazon Fire Stick because smart TV is not really smart. I have an old TV, but still. And the stick does everything. And yeah, if you want to play games on your TV, I don't think the smart TV concept would work, but stick it behind your HDMI port behind, and that's it. So yes, I think you're right. It's going to be a big cash cow if Sony can do that. You develop their Sony game stick, put it on your TV, and that's it.
Adam?
No, it's definitely going to go there eventually. I just think it's a ways out. As you can see, yeah. Right now, my internet is at, we are now broadcasting at 2.5 megabytes a second because my internet is not that great. And until it is, I would never want to be streaming gaming on something like that. And until it was available to me where I could get a pretty good, because also it's not just me using the internet, it's my wife also who's using the internet for work or for watching her videos. And we don't have kids, but if you have a family in a house and everybody's on the internet, that's going to be, so you need to find a way to have internet accessible to everyone worldwide, basically anywhere. And until that happens, I would not personally want that to be the standard. But once that does happen, then yeah, that would be great.
I can just look forward to the day when I don't have to worry about my computer breaking down or something breaking down or upgrading hardware, and we just play in the cloud. And I can play on my big TV. I can go to my bedroom and play. I can stop outside on my bike and play on my phone. And it's all streaming and it's all done in the cloud with NVIDIA, AMD's GPUs sitting in some server farm under the water or in Iceland somewhere. And I think that's awesome. That takes out so much headache. But I can imagine the next generation of, maybe not the next generation of kids, but maybe Antoine's grandchildren will never know what a computer is or will never know what a Switch is or a PlayStation or an Xbox is, because those things will only have died by 2030, right? Or something like that. So it's interesting.
You just need a monitor with a keyboard and a mouse and you're good.
Yeah.
This time I just hope the Earth is not going to blow up by 20.
You got a couple more billion years until the sun re-expands.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not talking about the sun, right?
The Earth will still be here. We might not, but the Earth
yes.
Yeah. So if we're still alive by 2050, maybe we'll get to see that.
Yes.
Fantastic.
All right, Adam, on to your second story.
All right, so for my second story, what we're going to be talking about is Blizzard. And hang on. There we go. And what's happening is, where are my, I lost all my articles said. Oh, that's okay. What's happening is we had just had BlizzCon this week. I believe it was on the 4th and the 5th. So it was 2 days. And they talked quite a bit about what was coming out in the future. And one of the things that they talked about was the new World of Warcraft expansion, which is The War Within. They actually talked about how World of Warcraft is going to be, they talked about the next three expansions. So they're all going to be what they call the World Souls Saga. But there's been a little bit of backlash on one of the things that they're doing with the new expansion, which is that you can pay for early access expansion. I believe it's not even that long, maybe only about 3 days or so. But if you want to pay $90, you can have early access to this expansion, and it's dividing fans. And the reason for that is a lot of people are saying, again, this is predatory behavior. You're just trying to squeeze a little bit of extra money out of your people that are really big, your cash cows, your whales or whatever. But part of the reason too is some people feel that because World of Warcraft is an MMO, and part of an MMO is having that community, giving certain players access to the expansion early is going to cause problems with just the way people play, groups and guilds and stuff like that. If I hop on and it's day one for me, but it's day four for you, you might be a much higher level than I am. You might be doing new content that I don't have access to yet. And they were saying that it could really divide guilds and divide groups on almost a class system where, you know, the haves and the have nots. I don't know if that's that big of an issue, but apparently a lot of people do feel very strongly about this. And yeah, they are divided as to whether this should be something done in the future, is giving people early access if they're willing to pay a little bit more.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I think you're an FF14 player. If you pre-order the next extension, don't you have a week pre-access before the official release?
You do, but then that's what people are saying is one of the differences between Final Fantasy 14 and WoW is that in Final Fantasy 14 it's just for pre-ordering. So basically anybody who pre-orders the game, or even if you bought, so it's one of those things where it's if you it's an odd thing, because the only way you can get access to the content is to pay for it, and as soon as you pay for it, you can start up to a week early. So if you pre-order it, you get it a week. Everybody who pre-orders it gets it a week early. if you bought it 3 days before it releases, you can access it because you're effectively pre-ordering it. So in a way, it's you have early access, but anybody who buys it is going to have it because everybody has equal access to it. It's not really an issue. Whereas here, it's if you pre-order the game, but you pay this price, you don't have early access. Whereas if you pay extra, then you do have early access. And that's where people are getting the kind of this feeling from is that if you pay more, you get earlier access. Whereas in Final Fantasy 14, it doesn't matter how much you pay because everybody who pre-orders it, even if you get just the base game, would have that access. Yeah, I don't even know why they would call it early access at that point, because it really is. If you pay for it, you get access to it. So the only way you wouldn't be able to play that early would be as if you bought it on the day it released. But if you bought it a week after release, you can't access it until you've bought it anyway. So it's a weird, I guess it's a marketing thing, but yeah, so people feel it's different.
Unless there's a set amount of pre-order version.
No, I don't think so.
There is. It's unlimited, yeah. No, but still, you play FF14, you pre-order, you have your week of pre-access for free. You play WoW, you have to pay extra. And then your friend, well, less fortunate than you, can play and they'll have to wait through. No, yeah, you're right.
You have to pay the $90 version. I'm not sure how much the base version would cost. So I don't know how much extra it is for that access.
But we are still on the line, as I was talking before with Diablo. That's Blizzard, right?
Yep.
As soon as you can make money, they will.
Yeah, if the expansion is the $70 price of a regular game, that's $20. You have to pay $20 to get this early access. Whereas with, say, Final Fantasy 14, it's $0 to get that early access.
Yeah, you can feel the greed of Blizzard.
Yeah, so I don't really know.
Okay, story number two, Anton?
No comments on
Fair enough. I have two Nintendo stories. I'm going to start with the first one. Absolutely not surprising, and I think we mentioned it a month or two ago, that Nintendo made lots of money with a very successful release of Super Mario Bros. As a movie, of course. And therefore, hey, if this works, why not try with other IPs? And that's it's official. Zelda will come out as a live action. So let me just take my notes. This is made with Nintendo and Sony Picture Entertainment. And it's with franchise creator Shigeru Miyamoto and Avi Arad. I don't know who Avi Arad is, but he's apparently known for producing mega hit films, will be involved in this project. And the one who will be directing the project is Wes Ball. Wes Ball, however you pronounce it, sorry. And it's a live action, so I don't know if it's like one live action movie or a live action series like One Piece previously. If it's the same production values, then I'll be very happy. Let's all remember that Zelda was a cartoon, yes, back in the 90s, and it was a very terrible, creepy cartoon. So let's hope that the quality is going to be much better than that. But let's trust Nintendo, because they might not be as greedy as Blizzard, but they like big bucks, and they want to have a big success, same as Super Mario did. And if Mario was great, and if Zelda racking more money, then they're going to continue and dig in their IPs and make more of these movies and live action series. So as long as they put the money and the love for it in it, that's going to be fun. Not like, what's his name? Like a Paul Anderson movie. I think. Make this guy stop, please.
The Uwe Boll guy?
The guy who did the Resident Evil, the Monster Uwe Hunter. Ball, yeah. Oh. No, not Uwe Boll. No, his successor, Paul Anderson, the husband of Mila Jovovich. Uwe Boll, he was doing this because in Germany there was some tax back and he was doing this for tax. Anderson, I don't know if he's doing this for the tax or it's just bad, but he has no love for the game. He's just doing them dirty, and that's terrible. That's what it is.
I'd be really curious as to whether they would be adapting one of the Legends of Zelda stories from one of the games, or if this would be an entirely new story. I would assume they'd be going with a new one.
I think so too.
But yeah, because Zelda is one of those things where it's all, I don't know, it's kind of part, some of them are multiverse, some of them are expanded universe, or they're happening thousands of years in the future, but it's essentially the same story, but it's being retold and
You do have
changes here and there. Yeah, they're all, hey, get the what do I call them? The power
Triforce.
Yeah. You just get the Triforce, stop Ganon. It plays out differently every single time.
Yes, but you still have the same recipe. Yeah, you still.
Yeah, exactly. It's like cookies, right? They're all made of dough. They're all made with flour and egg, and you have oatmeal cookies and you have chocolate chip cookies, and it's like that. But yeah, I'd be really curious as to whether they'd be doing an original story or adapting one of the ones that already existed. But yeah, like I would assume it's going to be an original story.
I agree, because you can, even though the recipe is always the same, you can have games as different as the Wind Waker and the Twilight Princess. Still the same universe, right?
Yep.
And both games are fantastic. Yeah, I'm really curious to see what format they will use. Likely a movie, I'd say, I imagine. With Sony, yeah. Probably a movie. But if they are just announcing it now, don't wait for it until, what, 22?
Yeah.
You know,
I do feel live action is an odd choice, though.
Yes.
I would have preferred them just go full CG, but...
Yes, I do agree. I would have preferred likely a Mario-type movie. But again, One Piece did a really great live action. I was completely against live action before I saw One Piece. And then I saw that, hey, you know what? And Kenshin did a great live action too. So let's give it a chance.
Yeah, I think One Piece is a better example. Kenshin's a little more grounded in reality, but One Piece is a good example for Karakiness.
Because the manga is much more based on reality as well. No, finished.
Korean has no comment.
No.
You guys know more about this stuff than I do. On a side note, quick question to either of you. Who is, if I had to tell you the phrase, the father of Final Fantasy, and what's the name that would come to your mind?
There's a couple of them, though.
There's not just one person?
In modern, no. Oh. Because you have plenty of, you have the guy who made the music is one of the...
So it's not the music, it's the guy who directed the...
Yeah, but...
The father would be the guy who I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but it would be the guy who created the original Final Fantasy, directed the original one.
Yes.
But at the same time,
what's his?
But at the same time, I can't remember his name.
Oh, okay. Honestly, can't remember that either.
I can't remember his name
right now. I would say for the newer one, I would say Yoshi P.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, because Final Fantasy's reinvented itself and had, like, ups and downs, and because of that, you have, what's his name, Toriyama or whatever? And then there's the one that keeps talking about, like, Final Fantasy, the one who did Final Fantasy VII. Because you have, if you want to talk about the father of Final Fantasy, is it the guy who created the series, or the guy who popularized the series, or the guy that gave it a lot of its tropes that we now associate with Final Fantasy? It's just such a long series. It's really hard to pin down. But I know who you're talking about, because I've seen in a lot of articles, they're like, oh, this guy, blah, blah, blah. It starts with a U, I think.
I have a name of Hironobu Sakaguchi.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe another one.
Okay, because I just saw a story I was going to ask you guys. I've never heard of this name, and obviously I've never heard, but I saw an article saying that he has a new project. And so the internet was like, oh my God, cool, a new IP like Final Fantasy. But that's not my story, though. That was just it's one of these. I'm like, I want to ask Adam and Antoine, because that looked interesting. And like, we talked about Star Citizen a few weeks ago, and Peter, not Peter Molyneux, Chris Roberts is another father of a gaming series. So that's why it came to mind. But my second story, very quickly, is a hardware story, because apparently people are searching for this one particular motherboard, of course, made in Taiwan by Gigabyte. The B550M Aorus Pro, which is very strange, right? If you're buying hardware, and again, 2 weeks until Black Friday. Black Friday starts on the 24th for everyone who has access to Amazon, which should be a fair amount of the world. And already I want to remind people, you don't have to wait for Black Friday. There actually are already sales online for quite a few stores in your respective countries. Even in Taiwan, right? We have Taiwanese people like, or Chinese or Asian cultures, similar numbers. So in Taiwan, we have the sale for 11/11, right? November 11th is the big sale for stuff. We can go out and buy things really cheaply. So going back to what I said, so M means micro ATX. So if you're a guy, if you're a guy of a certain size, you should not buy a small motherboard, because it is very painful to put that stuff together. Micro ATXs are probably, if you're looking at Adam's picture and you're watching the video, it's about 25% of one section of the shelf that you're looking at on Amazon video. It's really tiny. It's one of those things, you're building a micro ATX PC, usually for your kid or something to put in your living room, where it takes up the smallest amount of space possible. Okay, so there's that. Do not buy a micro ATX motherboard. So this is, I don't know why people are searching for this. It's really too small. If you're living in a cold country, that's fine as well. But if you're living in a hot country, your micro ATX PC is likely to combust, and you'll be buying a new one pretty soon because it's just too small to do any sort of modern gaming, plus deal with heat issues. The other downside of this motherboard is it only supports up to Ryzen 5000 series, right? AMD is already on 7000 series, right? Which supports DDR5, which is the latest sort of standard of, not the latest, but the best sort of standard RAM. So again, not a great idea. Overall, this is a pretty good, this motherboard will probably set you back. I didn't even look at the price of this, but I can probably guess anywhere from $50 to $100. Motherboards are pretty cheap, and these are pretty small. So when you're buying a micro ATX motherboard, because it's so small, you're going to be putting it in a small case. You need to pay really special attention to the size of the graphics. Because graphics cards can go anywhere from this to that. And yes, my hand's almost on the edge of the screen because some graphics cards are big. And then again, when you're buying special smaller graphics cards, they can be more expensive because they have to deal again with the cooling issue, which is always a pain. But basically, yeah, this is a decent sort of mid-level motherboard that if you're building a small PC, you should go for it. I would not build this in a big case like what I have. I think I've been to Adam's house and saw his computer. I wouldn't put this inside Adam's case either because Adam's case needs a full-size ATX motherboard, right? On computers, you have three standards. EATX, which is the biggest size, which is what you really want as a guy or as a woman with really big hands. Or an ATX motherboard or an MATX. And this is an MATX, which is, again, not ideal. But yeah, cool motherboard, pretty affordable. You can still get a really good gaming PC running up. But again, this is more meant for living room PCs for kids or PCs in a small apartment where you don't have space for a 20 kilogram case. Okay, and I'm done. It's as in 20 years I've been doing this size, it just makes it more frustrating when you're trying to put in your RAM slot and you're plugging in the cable that gives the power to the motherboard and the cable and the RAM all in the same place. And you cut your fingers on the pins and it's just, you don't want to bleed all over your nice motherboard. No, it's not good. Like things just, you should care about the size because I will never ever buy a small PC. I'd rather buy a ready built one than build a small PC because that's how much of a pain it is. It's horrible. Yeah, you should because on certain stuff, it will actually, this price chart on Amazon, so you can see that as the price changes. And for certain components, it's actually cheaper to buy before Black Friday. So you should get ready and have a look and place your order. That's a good choice. Yeah.
Cool. So you heard it first on Middle Age Gaming and from Korean, size matters.
Yes. All right, Adam, final story of today.
Yeah, real Blizzard special today. Yeah.
What's the difficulty of putting an MMO on a console for someone who does? What do you think, Antoine?
Not much, because as Adam said, apparently it works flawlessly, fantastic. I would be just too scared to play with only a few buttons when I have my whole keyboard. And after that, is it hard to port on Xbox? I imagine there's power limitation between Series S and X, but again, Warcraft is an old game. It's not very pretty, right? It's not Cyberpunk. So I don't think there's going to be an issue on that front. Yeah, no, it's a good news. I'm just waiting for Battle.net to fuse with the Xbox app to have it on the PC Game Pass. But we'll see, because I think even though the Activision Blizzard is going to be purchased by Microsoft, I still think it's about a year for the deal to actually be processed. So it's not going to be right now. So I don't know what kind of level of cooperation they can have between the two companies at this time. But it's very good to have more options on console. Spread the games. Spread them through all the console. I'm very anti-exclusive. Very happy with that. Yeah, it just doesn't seem very compatible with a 1 hour of gameplay a day Korean schedule.
And I'd smash my controller. Very good point. Antoine, what's your final story of the day?
It's not much of a story, but I just wanted to make a missing Phil's quiz. So I wanted to make a little quiz myself. And so I have the 10 best-selling Nintendo Switch games. And I was wondering how many out of the 10 you can find. So go ahead. Can you try to find, at this time, right now, which one are the 10 best sellers on the Switch?
Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Number 4.
Okay, Mario Odyssey.
Mario Odyssey, no, actually. Oh, no, sorry, number 5. Yeah.
Adam, if you want to throw some in there.
Which one, sorry?
Pikmin, P-I-K-M-I-N.
Nah, sing big Nintendo IP, you'll be fine. Of course, Animal Crossing number 2. There's one over it. And you're wrong. No, no Splatoon, because... No.
The other... Oh, yeah.
Which one, sorry? Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is with 57 million copies is number 1. Far in front of Animal Crossing with 43 million copies.
The newer Zelda game, which I don't remember the name, but the one that came out.
Tears of the Kingdom is number 9 and rising rapidly. Okay. Super Smash Bros. I saw it somewhere. Yes, number 3, actually. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are missing 6 and 7, which I don't understand how you can have missed it, to be honest.
Okay, so we did the two major Zelda games. We got the biggest Super Mario game, which is the release title when the Switch came out. Metroid is too niche.
What if I say Game Freak?
Oh, yes.
Of course, Pokemon. 6 and 7. Sword and Shield on 6. Okay. 7 is Scarlet and Violet.
We're old. I can't keep it all in my brain anymore.
And you are missing 8 and 10, which are both Mario.
I figured I was Mario. Like, there's got to be at least more than one Mario game on there. So what?
Okay, so which Marios do you think? One of them, I'm sure you won't find it.
What is coming out? Yeah, RPG is coming out next week. So it's not that. Is it Wonder? No, too early for it.
Wonder, no. Yeah.
I said Odyssey earlier.
Yeah, you said Odyssey earlier.
So it's got to be... Is it Super Mario Maker?
No, but it's a very old Mario, which has been on every console since...
Super Mario 3D World? Super Mario Bowser's Fury. But it was also remastered on the Switch.
It has a remaster on number 10. Yeah, the remaster is New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
Oh, God. Never heard that. Okay.
And number 8 is, shall I give it to
yes.
you? Mario Party.
Oh, of course.
And no, actually, number 8 on the list. Soon to be, of course, overtaken by Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. But yeah, no. 2 Pokemons, plenty of Mario, and 2 Zelda.
Hey, remind me, what's number 1 again?
I closed it. The Mario Kart.
Mario Kart is the best-selling game in the mother.
By far. 10 million copies over in front of number 2. And you know what? Since I saw that, now, you know what? I'm going to have to play Animal Crossing now.
Animal Crossing is awesome.
I never played. I was too lazy to play it. I
can't believe it. Mario Kart is fun, but it's not like single-player fun. Like, so that's what I don't understand. Because Mario Kart, you need, isn't it like Mario Party? You have to play with people to order have fun.
Yes, but Mario Kart is way more fun than Mario Party.
Really? But I think Mario Kart is such a, like a single, it's like a driving game, right? Whereas Mario Party, there's lots of different games for a wide variety of people.
Because you're focused on racing, you're focused on getting better and better and better, and it's very addicting. While Mario Party is just one game with friends once in a while. I was very addicted with a Mario Double Dash on GameCube when I was a student. And we were playing that all the time with my friend. And you get to miss it, you know, when you're trying to beat your ghost. You can play with friends. Okay, try to beat your ghost or play online and beat other people. It's really addicting. I can understand the thrill.
That's good to know. I guess I haven't played like a driving game since the last Need for Speed game, which is okay. That's interesting. Thank you, Antoine. I think that is the best way to end off the show. And we don't even need to do my last story because I understand.
Poor Samus.
Because like, you look at the hype behind a Metroid game and it's just, you look at all the media and the social media and it's out. Oh, yay. 2 weeks later, Metroid's gone from the social media ether. All right, gents, what are we playing this week? We've got Antoine, actually, if Antoine has time to play.
I finished Sea of Stars yesterday and that was absolutely fantastic. Multiple endings, drama,
and
happy endings. And am I going to play again? Honestly, I don't think so, because before Platinum the game, I only missed a couple of stuff, which I don't see the point of spending more time. I had fantastic time with it. Play it. It's a very good game. Now I think I'm going to, how can I say, I'm supporting Bordeaux in League 2 of France. They are so terrible. They are 17 out of 20. Therefore, I'm going to go play Football Manager 24, which just came on Game Boy and PC. I'm going to be crap, but at least for a couple of weeks, I'm going to try to prove that I can be better than the current management. just because I'm so frustrating to get beaten every single weekend. I'm just sad for my team.
Adam, what about you? So Neil, for me, I almost was like, I was really irritated by Super Mario Bros. Wonder last week because there was this weird jump and I died 5 times and I have had 15 lives. I went down to 8. I'm like, oh my God, if I get down to 0, I'm going to have to start the whole game from the beginning because, of course, being a middle-aged gamer, I thought, oh yeah, it's just like the old Super Mario Bros. And you run out of lives, you start the whole game over from the beginning. But no, they just give you an additional 5 lives. But I tried a whole bunch of stuff on my Switch last week and I went back to Super Mario Bros. But I think for me, I'm going to try and finish that soon because going back to Disney's Dreamlight Valley, right, that's switching to a paid game in December. And with a whole new world coming out and with a paid expansion next year, which is really exciting. So I do want to, I might go back to PC gaming soon. I also want to buy Dave the Diver on the Switch, which is, of course, a very famous game. A guy who dives and runs a sushi bar at the same time. And it looks really cool. I might just play that until December time, but we'll see. But yeah, more Nintendo Switching for me for this week. And yeah, that's it. Very cool. As always, guys, thank you for waking up early or and staying awake late. Oh, yeah, because it is daylight savings time, so it has changed. The clocks have changed, so it's not too late for Antoine, right? Very good. Then we will see you guys same time next week. Keep an eye out for December. We might have some ideas for, let's say, non-news-based shows to round off the end of the year and maybe give the guys a break so they can enjoy the last week of the year. Well, we'll see. And then we'll see you guys next week.